Well, thank you, Katya. That's a very lovely introduction. But I promise I won't eviscerate anybody tonight. It's great to be here. I've only been to Montreal a few times before in my life. And I've just come from New Brunswick and Halifax. So for me, there was no flip-flops. In fact, this is balmy in comparison to what they have there. I'd like to start with a fairly simple poem. When I was 21, just finished university, I did what everybody did in those days, and I guess still does, and that's travel in Europe and see the world. On one occasion, I ended up in Geneva, and I missed my train to wherever I was going and had to spend the night, and I convinced myself that I couldn't possibly afford a bed in a hotel in Geneva because it must be so expensive. So being young, I decided I'd simply stay awake all night and walk up and down on the shore of the lake, which proved to be not the greatest idea because it got actually quite cold and lonely in the night. But it did have the advantage that I was able to see Geneva come awake in the morning just when the first light of dawn was lighting up the sky. So many, many years later, remembering that particular early morning in Geneva, came this poem called Acknowledgements. To those who deliver milk or mail or news of God knows what before the day begins, whose bottles clink like clean bells, whose soft electric whine stops and starts and preempts for the moment the day's harsher sonic gloss. To those who open shutters, crank awnings, who set out metal chairs for the sun to warm when it clears the crown of the avenue's chestnuts. To those whose work is such syntax, the acts by which the day begins, the acts by which all days begin, coffee and steamed milk, china cups, little oblongs of sugar wrapped in paper. To those who sit at tables, whose spoons catch the day's first light, who light cigarettes, who know what is to come, unfold paper, dip a cube into coffee, begin the work. I'd like to read two poems from the earlier book, partly because I have this copy of it that has a lovely gold seal on it that says BC Book Prize winner. Well, I didn't win the BC Book Prize, but I went to Chapters in Vancouver one day and found that an employee had put the sticker on the wrong book, so I bought it. So I think it's as close as I'll ever get to winning that. So this poem came about from sitting for a few hours on the banks of the Bow River in Banff a few years ago with a friend. It's called What Do You Call? What do you call that play of light on water that's not exactly sparkle, nor crystal, nor tiara, or eau pétillant, tingle, fanfare, fish scale scraped on a slab of lapis? Not a schoolyard at recess, or Bach, or Binoche by candlelight, or crickets, or meteors. Not the melting of ice, or flight of birds, tang of lemon, trill, spill of beads, shiver of aspen shaken by a breeze on the eastern slope of the Rocky Mountains at the moment a cloud's shadow slips over a white-tailed deer and she stops. Her heart trembling in that instant because it can't help it. Not that, but something like it. Something that escapes us here by the river, where sun and water make us forget the simplest words. Words like, yes, maybe. Like, do you understand what I mean? There's so little that we're sure of, and yet these currents can convince us of anything. The sigh of water flowing by, the needlessness of speech, how easily light becomes liquid, and how our drinking has nothing, whatever, to do with thirst. There are a few optimistic poems like that about personal relationships in this book, but most of them are much more negative. So I'll read you one called Phytolith. One of the things about living in northern BC that I'm sure Liz will remember is that when you go for a walk in the bush, in the strangest and most unexpected places, you find cars sitting in the bush, just among trees and bushes. Some of them are quite old, clearly dating to the 30s and 40s, but some of them look almost new, like the cars you drive around, and there they are, sitting in the bush. So here is this poem. A blue Plymouth, abandoned among willows, has you believing you've discovered something, a residual clue, the shape of a former habitation, or the gesture your arms might assume years later when you've forgotten a woman you danced with, even her name, although your body still retains relics of that music, your hand on her waist. The few brief measures when neither you nor she either led or followed, but lived a movement as effortless and commonplace as a key thrust into a pocket, as walking away from a car, never doubting your return. The click of cooling metal behind you, no more final than the flit of tanagers from a branch. If you had known anything about anything then, the way departure deposits itself like silica in the moments you believe yourself most undeniably alive, if you had had an inkling, you might have turned to catch the light glinting off chrome, might have thought of something fitting to say, goodbye, perhaps, or I will remember you always. And if you don't think that's bleak, I've got a really... This one is guaranteed, definitely minor key. It's called Segway. Days pass and fall happens. Fog and strange stars on nights of no moon. The emptiness of things that believe themselves still full. Apple trees in the valley, like reluctant witnesses burdened with evidence. What are you waiting for? Say it. She's gone. Summer took her, like your pickup truck and dog, and it ain't no use. Winter's in the fields, tuning his guitar. Remember spring? Sure you do, how that song went. The seeds you buried, tomato and eggplant, then sun and rain and leaves and the tart, bitter end of fruit. Days pass from one chord to the next. Birds gone, leaves turning brittle. Someone is guilty of too much or not enough. Empty nights caught like shreds of cloth on barbed wire. Facts you don't know what to do with. Not you, not anyone. Okay, enough gloom. Sue Sinclair, who is a wonderful poet and edited both of these books for me, gives me a hard time periodically for being too much of a romantic. So this poem was written to refute that charge. And then you can judge whether that was successful or not. The title is On s'est perdu de vue, which is a line from that famous song that Jeanne Moreau sings in Jules et Jim, the classic 1960s movie. And there's a few references here to a couple of other more recent films as well. Where do they go, those fine lovers, when the film runs out? When the flicker that fools the eye ends? Iris Murdoch on her bicycle, the dappled light of a lane that leads anywhere but downhill. Or Jeanne Moreau freewheeling through the heart's few minutes of montage. Binoche among the frescoes, swinging in a flare's white light. This may be as much as there is, whatever desire can salvage from the cutting room floor. Sunlight, a Tuscan sky, hair blown over the eyes, a face glimpsed as if in passing by the negligent lens. Then darkness, minds scattered. The reel of the heart sealed in its can, while up in the booth the apparatus cools, gets ready for tomorrow's car chase, another new disaster. I want to be the last one left, the one with the broom working the aisles for whatever has been spilled, the last one behind whose eyes the film still runs, the one who turns off the lights, finds a bicycle in the lane, and swings onto its saddle as if he had seen it done 100 times, rides off with it into the tender, luminous night. Cut, cut, I'll hear you say, it's ended. Yeah, I know, I'll say, but look, here we are in the credits.